The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom Fairbanks and Bill Buckmaster, two one-time flower children, still behind a microphone. And that, Tom, is a miracle in itself this Thanksgiving.
But yet, we should remind everybody that the views expressed on the program by your guests or anybody that calls in don't necessarily represent your views or the views of the radio station.
Exactly. Thank you for that. And of course, next Friday we'll be off, Tom, because we're taking Thanksgiving and Black Friday off. So you'll be able to go out and...
You're going to be out shopping Black Friday?
Yeah, you wish. No, no way. Anyway, hello, everybody. It is Friday, November 17th, 2017. And we re-air the Friday program Saturday morning at 7 here on KVOI. Friday, we like to do our media partner shout-out to people like Dylan Smith at TucsonSentinel.com, who support us, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Dan Shear, who is with me here in studio. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Tucson Media Group has joined our list of supporters who prominently display on their publications the Buckmaster Show logo, which is a direct link over to buckmastershow.com. In their group is Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News. Other media partners, Southern Arizona News Examiner and the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, lots to talk about with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry and Dan Shear. I already introduced you, but I'll say it again. Thanks for coming in, Dan.
Always love doing it.
Mr. Huckleberry, how are you?
I'm just fine, Bill. Glad to be here.
The new numbers came out on jobs. We're lagging a little bit behind in Pima County, and the governor kind of took a shot at you being one of the leaders of Pima County, and I guess the others who make decisions for our region. His quote was, "There are some other things going on in terms of what's happening in Southern Arizona and Pima County that we need to look at in terms of proper investment and how some things are handled down there."
We would love to invite the governor down and talk about those things. We frankly don't know what they are, but he has any concerns. We would be happy to sit down with him and talk about those and ensure that Pima County gets its fair share of the job growth in Arizona. If you look at the jobs that the county actually did attract this last period, they're all in aerospace, and they're high-paying jobs, and so, you know, their worth is probably on a factor of 2 to 3 of other jobs. And so I don't think the picture is as dismal as stated, but we are absolutely open to have the governor down and have a good dialogue about what we need to do to attract more jobs into Pima County, because that's our goal.
How about this rumored Citicorp expansion? I keep hearing anywhere from 3,500 to 5,000 jobs, and we keep hearing this rumor. It seems to be picking up steam. Do you hear anything?
You know, I don't hear anything specifically about that rumor. I'm sure it's in our list, but typically these are all service banking type jobs. We typically get much more involved in the manufacturing and aerospace and the mining attractions. And so it's not unusual that I wouldn't be in the direct loop on that particular attraction.
Dan, before I give it to you, one more question about money for Mr. Huckleberry, and it pertains to social media. And Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller, District 1 Republican, has been sending out a lot of things over social media, basically accusing you of wasting Pima County money on everything from solar panels, some incubator space for technology, replacing old furniture. Do you respond to each of these accusations?
Yes, we do. You know, one of the things that I think the public deserves factual answers to allegations. It's really important that they understand what we do, why we do it, and the facts associated with it. So whenever there's something that's advanced that's false, we basically are going to answer. I've long had a policy that said that no untruth goes unanswered, because so that the public is aware of actually what's going on. We're an open book. All of those answers are basically posted on at least my webpage, the county administrator. Every communication I have with the board is posted, so it's a wide open, transparent discussion.
Dan Scheer.
We've had a golf course close a couple of years down in Green Valley a couple of years ago, and now there's a plan to actually gift that to Pima County with some stipulations. Can you tell us where that is?
We're talking with all of the interested parties, and that includes the actual owner, Green Valley Recreation, perhaps others, our own staff, the volunteers in Green Valley. I think it's a great opportunity to get more park space into Green Valley. As you know, Green Valley has very limited parks from Pima County, only one at the Chuck Catino up at the ball fields up north. And frankly, you know, there's no dog park in Green Valley. I don't even think we have a picnic table or a Ramada in Green Valley. So
really?
I think this is an excellent opportunity to expand recreation into Green Valley. And in a manner of passive recreation, you know, not everyone in Green Valley is going to be playing baseball, but that doesn't mean they can't have a leisurely walk or through a golf course or through a natural area to where they can actually enjoy the outside of climate in a county park.
You mentioned Green Valley Recreation, and roughly 70-75% of the community belongs to that. They pay dues to it. And if they're going to be a partner in it, there are concerns that have been raised about exactly how much that could potentially cost them. We have not heard up to this point any specific dollar figures, and I know it's still early and you're trying to get the acquisition here. But an August memo from your Parks Department said that taking on the burden of this golf course could cost an awful lot of money. I think they used the word extreme at some point. And then you talked to our reporter this week and you said, no, it's really not going to. So who do we believe here?
What you have to do is understand my Parks Department is a county agency, and they're always basically saying we don't have any money. And so their natural first reaction to anything is going to be, oh, I don't have any money and this is going to be terrible. And I think my reaction is to say, calm down, and let's figure this out in a rational manner. And if it does cost more money, we'll pay our proportionate share. And frankly, it's not going to be exorbitant. We manage a lot of open space for a very nominal cost. And ultimately, what we want to do is turn this golf course back into passive, natural open space with recreational opportunities through trails and hiking and walking. Perhaps even a dog park or two. So those are kind of things that I think don't cost a lot of money. When you talk about park maintenance, mowing the grass, watering the grass, manicuring the grounds, those are costly. Those are much more costly than managing natural open space.
So you think, though, that potentially volunteers could play a role in helping to maintain this property. Can you give us some examples around the county where volunteers are being used to do something like this?
Well, you look at Agua Caliente Park. It's basically, much of that is operated by volunteers that operate at a nonprofit foundation. You have the Rito Park Foundation, same model. So it's very likely that through a combination of volunteers, and there are a lot of volunteers in Green Valley who work today at Canoa Ranch in the Garden Club. And so those are, you know, we're not asking them to do, you know, take the place of county workers. What we're doing is saying that can they lend their volunteer services to do things that interest them, that they have an interest in volunteering, and things that would cost us money. For example, we have a native plant nursery, and they grow a lot of vegetation that can be used in revegetating natural open space. We'll do the heavy lifting, which means bringing all the vegetation down there, planting it. But maybe they can help with management or pruning or weeding or things of that nature.
But then the idea would be that the county would be involved in this forever. There would never be an end date for the county to pull out and give it over to Green Valley Rec or anybody to manage.
That's absolutely correct. A county park is a county park, and a county park typically lasts forever.
All right, Tom, I'm going to take the break about a minute early because I want to get into transportation and perhaps getting lawmakers to let Pima County make it possible for Pima County to do a sales tax increase without unanimous approval of the board. We'll ask Mr. Huckleberry about that when we continue on Buckmaster on a Friday, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhance Openings is Tucson's Pella Select Wholesale Installation Company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC CR 603-05859. EnhanceOpenings.com.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off will feature Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash. Also, we're going to pay a lot more, perhaps, to visit our national parks. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, with worldwide live listening podcasts and our show archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster, your host, Tom Fairbanks, our engineer producer, Dan Shear of the Green Valley News, and Sahorita.
Sahorita.
Sahorita. Wow. Sahorita Sun is with us today, and Chuck Huckleberry is our Friday Focus interview. Dan, I'll let you get the ball rolling on transportation.
Okay, well, let's talk about roads. A couple of neighborhoods down in my area of Green Valley have proposed forming what they call county improvement districts, which allows them to tax themselves to fix the roads. With the advent of the property tax that was just passed this year, and perhaps with Steve Christie's half-cent sales tax plan out there, we don't know what's going to happen with that yet. Where do the CIDs stand? Is this still a viable way for people to go about fixing their roads?
Yes, it is. And I think what has happened is that an improvement district can be used to fix your roads. Last major improvement district we actually had in the county was at Tucson Country Club, where they rebuilt their entire road system based on the payments from the homeowners themselves. And so I think
how long ago was that?
That's been about 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
Now. And they're not used very often, but they're available. They're there in statute. I think the problem in Green Valley is that it was really talking about cost sharing with the county. And so you can proceed with an ID, an improvement district now, but you're going to pay 100% of the cost. Whether or not there's cost sharing, I think, is a kind of a future policy decision that has to be made by the Transportation Advisory Committee, as well as probably the board. It's probably going to be, given the magnitude of our problem, it's really hard. It's going to be hard pressed for us to basically recommend that a subdivision that comes in and can pay part of its own, we should pay the rest, and therefore leave those who can't afford to pay that out. So that's going to be a difficult problem. So improvement districts are available. I don't think they're going to be used widely in pavement repair.
And I think there were some assumptions that it would be a 50-50 split with the county, though nothing was on paper and there were no promises made. But I think there were assumptions that if some districts were willing to tax themselves, some neighborhoods were willing to, then the county would kick in. But that has never been the plan. We were a little concerned about just what you brought up, that the rich, frankly, would get the county dollars, even if it was just half of it. And those who couldn't afford to tax themselves would get nothing.
Yeah, and I think that was our concern. Transportation Advisory Committee discussed it briefly and really put it off to the next year. So I don't think it'll even come up this year in their recommendations.
So for Pima County to pass a sales tax increase, the board has to be unanimous, correct?
Yes. The current statute says the county can pass a half-cent sales tax for any purpose, provided it's a unanimous vote.
Okay.
And that's been on the books for 30 years, my guess. It's been around a long time, and obviously we've never been able to achieve a unanimous vote.
How do you change it?
Well, the only way you change it is you basically have to go back to the legislature and say, "Dear legislature, we'd like to fix our roads, and we'd like to reduce our property tax. Can you help us?" And I think that if you think about those two broad goals, they're both admirable, and I think the legislature is incentivized to actually help, because if you structure a system such that we bring down our property tax and we bring it below what we call the 1% constitutional threshold, the state will no longer be sending everybody else's taxpayers down here to Pima County. And they're probably sending 20 to 25 million down. The last time we raised the property tax for road repairs, we raised $20 million because of the current level of property taxation in our school districts. The state actually paid $5 million of that. So if you are an owner-occupied resident living in the Tucson Unified School District, you did not pay any of that 25-cent increase. The state did. So the only way to actually reduce that is to get us into a program to where we talk about reducing our property taxes and fixing our roads at the same time and phasing it such that we reduce property tax rates below this 1% threshold. And so I think the state, for the very first time, is incentivized to actually help us with this problem to where they can act legislation and they can say, "Well, we can't trust Pima County to use the money for this purpose." Well, that's fine. Write it right in the legislation that says Pima County can adopt a half-cent sales tax, by a majority vote if and only if they use X percent for road repair and Y percent for property tax. And if they don't do that, they can't pass the proposition.
Well, then how does this ball get rolling then? Do you talk to local legislators? Do they have to introduce a bill? How does this work?
You really talk to local legislators. You talk to the Arizona Tax Research Association. You talk to the big taxpayers, the big property taxpayers, who I think would also be incentivized to do this. And you ultimately have to find a sponsor and get a piece of legislation through and have the governor sign it. And my view is that we can make a very good case to basically fix our roads in 15 years and reduce our property taxes from $4.50 now to probably below $3 during that period. And about 6 years into a proposition to where we do this, we're below the 1% constitutional limitation that causes the state to actually transfer their property tax monies or monies that are due the state to Pima County. That should be an incentive for the state legislature.
All right, let's see if we can take a call here before we let Mr. Huckleberry go for the weekend. Dave is with us calling from Marana, I believe. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, my opinion is my property taxes have gone through the roof to pay for Marana's growth, and I hope the county, I plead that the county will have a sales tax, rescind the hike in property taxes, because my property taxes have gone from $1,500 to over $5,000 when they delisted a pygmy and caused an explosion of development in this area. And the issue is the state legislature, they imposed a freeze on impact fees back in 2002 when Marana's growth was picking up really, I think it's 2002 or no, 2011. Marana's growth was picking up real fast after the recession. They're building houses all over the place, and the local governments need to spend more money on capital improvements, like more schools and roads and all that stuff. Well, then they impose a freeze on impact fees, so the county has no other choice to raise taxes.
All right.
And the other thing is, the legislature deliberately targeted me for a huge tax increase back in 1997. They targeted me, and they raised my assessment from 10% residential to 16% because I own a piece of land, and I leave the natural desert vegetation, so I created a new classification, calling my land vacant land.
All right, thank you, Dave.
Yeah, Dave, a couple of points. One is that the county is only about 25% of your tax bill, but I'm sure we're responsible for some of it increasing. What we've said is the moment we have a sales tax for road repair, we'll start reducing property taxes so that 25 cents goes away immediately, probably plus another 25 to 30 cents just on year one. So we want to do that. We want to reduce our property taxes. We know where they are. We're cognizant of that. Impact fees, we have a program that we charge the highest transportation impact fee of any local jurisdiction in the county for the unincorporated area, so we understand the need for growth to pay for its own way. So, and you're right, the property tax classification penalizes those who have vacant land. Your assessment ratio, you're exactly right, is 15%. If you're owner-occupied residential property, it's 10%, so you pay 50% more in property taxes for the value of that vacant land, if you had a house on it, you would pay less.
Dan?
We talked briefly about Supervisor Steve Christie's plan to for a half-cent sales tax to go for road fixes. It would be administrated through the RTA. There are other aspects, of course, to it. What do you think of that plan overall, and what are the barriers to it actually getting past the board, which, as you pointed out, has to be a unanimous vote?
Well, I think it's an excellent plan. It's a plan that actually was put forth by someone who is an elected office who decided that they really need to solve a problem. So I agree 100% in concept with it. I think it has probably about less than 0.1% chance of becoming a reality because of Supervisor Miller's stated opposition to the plan. And that's unfortunate because until we can actually increase investment in transportation, we're not going to be able to fix our roads. So I think he's got a great plan. The concept to have the RTA manage it is fine. If that gives us a unanimous vote, if that's what we have to do, I think that's great. But I think it's basically to try and win over Supervisor Miller's vote, which doesn't appear that that's working.
In the remaining minute, we talked about jobs at the beginning of this interview. You mentioned aerospace. It's looking better, isn't it? You got Worldview, you got Jim Cantrell of what he's doing with Vector Space Systems.
Yes, we're actually becoming what we call we're adding space into the aerospace component. We always had, frankly, aerospace in the form of Raytheon, but now we're actually getting the space dimension, which I think is a great addition, because when those jobs come to this region, they come in at average wages of $80,000 to $100,000. And so those are high-wage jobs, and those are the type of jobs that we need to grow the economy and grow the wealth in the community.
All right. Mr. Huckleberry, thank you very much for coming in. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Have a good weekend.
Good. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up, we're almost at exactly right on time today, 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. So ends our Friday Focus interview with Mr. Huckleberry, but we have Dan Scheer and Jim Nitzel. Nitzel will join us, editor of the Weekly, for our Friday Roundtable. Got all sorts of political stuff to cover today. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust. and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This is our roundtable portion of the Friday Hour. Dan Scheer from Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, the editor there. And Jim Nintzel is the editor of the Tucson Weekly. He's on the live line. Hey, Nintzel.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Very good. I want to hear all about you and Dan. You are actually moderating the forum with the two Democratic candidates for governor, Dr. Garcia and Steve Farley. But before I do, you were listening to the from your desk there. You had your headset on at the Weekly listening to Mr. Huckleberry. Did you hear he was saying that he's ready to fire off a response every time Allie Miller puts out one of these communiques?
Yeah, I think he's going to be pretty busy with that particular project. It seems to be job security, if that's the case.
What do you think? What do you think about his chances of going before the legislature to try to drop that unanimous requirement of the board for a sales tax increase?
You know, it's a really interesting concept. He's pitching it as the idea that the state will no longer have to subsidize Pima County taxpayers as it currently does because of a really complicated homeowner rebate that's built into the property taxes and the way property taxes work, which I don't think we should get into right now. But, as that sort of angle on it, I think it holds a better hope than just going up there and saying, give us the power to increase taxes. That's something actually the state tried to change recently, and the county sued and got it overturned. That from that angle, it's a persuasive argument, but a change in allowing, making it easier to impose taxes is always a very difficult sell at the Arizona legislature.
Dan, share your thoughts about Jim Nintzel moderating yesterday the forum. Put you on the spot.
Jim did a great job.
Oh, okay.
And he did a great job with the CD2 candidates a few weeks ago at Rincon High School. I love his very first question, which was, look, you're Democrats. You all probably agree on lots of issues. Let's just tick off like five or six of them and just raise your hand if you agree on it. And there we were able to dispatch I almost felt like I could go home after the first 5 minutes, which was good. And I'll ask you this, Jim. I thought the one question that they didn't answer directly was support for recreational marijuana.
And these are the governor's candidates.
Correct.
Farley and Garcia.
Correct. And so, and they did mention, about the prisons being full of people who are in there for low-level drug charges and that type of stuff, but they never really answered that question directly. Did you see it that way also?
Yeah, I think they did sort of sidestep, other than, saying that they thought if it were not illegal, the prisons would be, you'd have less prison costs. But yeah, I think there was some sidestepping of that issue there for sure. Not surprising, given that it remains controversial, and I'm sure it will come up again by the end of this campaign. But other than that, yeah, I didn't see much daylight between the two of them, and I don't know whether you saw it differently, but I think there was a lot of agreement, and it's more a question of style.
Exactly, and I was talking to a couple of people afterward, and they're asking my thoughts about this, and I'm covering it for the paper, but my thought is that right now you're trying to figure out personalities, and Steve Farley, he would get up, he had a booming voice, he was very passionate about it. Dr. Garcia, very measured, obviously very intelligent, also, though, an engaging personality. And who is it that you want to be listening to for the next 4 years is kind of the real question there, because on the issues, there just wasn't a lot of disagreement. So obviously, Dr. Garcia is very educated, educationally
he's
directed.
A professor at ASU of education,
and you know, he brings everything back to the, you know, the K-12 system, right, and making sure that it's strong and that we're feeding money into it. And you know, there were a lot of easy punching bags there that day. Our education system is one of them. But overall, I think that you had two fairly equal candidates.
In this race, these are the two candidates. This is pretty much what it's going to be in the primary for the Dems, Jim, in the governor's race.
Yeah, well, unless somebody else decides they want to jump in, and I haven't heard any names, but that doesn't mean there's not somebody out there. But yeah, I think this is how it's shaping up.
Is Ducey vulnerable?
You know, 2018 is going to be a real interesting year to watch. My gut says he's not, but at the same time, there seems to be a wave building, and we'll see. Those waves often affect congressional races more than they affect top-of-the-ballot races here in Arizona, and Democrats have not had a lot of luck winning statewide office recently.
Right.
So barring a huge wave, I think Ducey is going to be tough to unseat.
And there was some criticism yesterday that Ducey really isn't doing, making all the decisions in the office, that it's Kirk Adams, who's his chief of staff, and
right,
that it's others who are, and he's just reading off the talking points. And he's had this criticism for a long time, but that really he's just kind of an empty suit and other people are doing all the work for him. They mentioned Kathy Herod, who's with the Center for Arizona Policy, and others. And these, again, was throwing fresh meat in front of Democratic voters who just wanted to eat it up.
And the people behind the curtain.
Exactly.
Trying to figure out who's behind the curtain up at the governor's office. Let's switch now to what I think is just very fascinating, watching this whole I guess we're going to see a decision soon about Congresswoman Martha McSally announcing she's a Senate candidate. Interesting piece in Tim Steller's column today in the Star. Jim, what's your take on this? When do you think we'll hear Martha McSally formally announce she is a candidate for U.S. Senate?
Well, she hasn't consulted with me, so I
thought maybe you
certain.
Had inside info for me.
But I have heard Monday could be the day.
Thanksgiving week? That would be
we'll
weird.
We'll keep an eye out. You know, the tax thing, they got it through the House this week. So, you know, that's sort of a big piece of business wrapped up, which could mean that she's coming home to make this announcement. But I've also heard, you know, she's waiting until the start of the year, which I think would be a long time to wait to make this announcement.
Well, what about what Tim Steller was speculating, that she's waiting to have Donald Trump say he's supporting her?
You know, I think if you're counting on Donald Trump to be part of your master plan, you're probably making a big mistake, because you never know what that guy's going to do next. You know, there is the question of whether we'll have a second seat up if John McCain can't finish his term, and that could be also playing into this.
And Representative McSally has mentioned to lots of different groups that Donald Trump likes her, that he relies on her and to be an expert in certain areas. And I agree with Jim that you can't rely on the president to come through until he comes through. So I don't know if it would be wise for her to wait for that. I would think that a Monday announcement would be just such a strange thing. We're just not used to that during holiday
weeks.
People
are traveling today. No. People start traveling today. It's one of the busiest travel days of the year today. People take off next week. It's basically a holiday week, people winding down. It would be unusual for her to make a huge announcement Monday, I don't think.
You don't have people's attention. So we'll see, but you never know. This has been such a strange year. Anything could happen.
Well, Jim, she's got these tweets now that have her pictures with her with President Trump. So if she were to decide that she's not running for Senate, those certainly could be used against her in CD2.
Right. And you know, I think Tim Steller did make the observation that she was very cautious about her words about Donald Trump during the campaign last year, and has not buddied up with him until very recently. And now you're seeing her, you know, posing with Ivanka and with Donald and stuff. And I don't think that's helpful in a really tight congressional district, which suggests to me that she's definitely planning on moving on.
All right. Any quick comment, Mr. Ninsel, about our city elections? Some overall comment, and then I want to talk to Dan about some news out of his area. Go ahead.
I think it was pretty much what you'd expect in terms of the Democrats winning. I thought it was interesting that the zoo thing was as close as it was. I wasn't surprised to see the Prop 204, the child care thing, go down, only because you didn't have a united Democratic support behind that. So you can certainly expect the vote to splinter on something like that.
Some news out of your area. This is economic news. Hey, you've got a dollar. Is it a dollar store coming to Amato?
Dollar General has been.
Stop the presses.
Now, why is this important? It's a Dollar General. It's been proposed for that area. So we've been spending some time down in Amato, which, you know, Aravaca feeds into that, and asking the people, okay, why? What do you think? Well, I don't think there's any national retailer that's ever come through there. And there are some people who are excited about it. Other are experiencing what we're calling like this Walmart effect, where you have Walmart come into a community and it wipes out the mom and pops, but it brings jobs with it. And this is exactly what Amato is going through right now. It's like, boy, we really would kind of like the convenience that would have. We wouldn't have to drive into Green Valley or into Tubac and to get certain items. But on the other hand, it's going to, in a sense, change the flavor of the community, because they do have a little mini market there that is kind of like the gathering spot. And so what would happen to that? And that's kind of the big question. We're going to have that story on Sunday.
All right. And you're also going to be, I think you were doing something about the flu. I'm going to be having the new director of the Pima County Health Department on the show here within a week, but flu cases are on the upswing.
They're huge. Right now, we have got, let me see, we have 100 cases of the flu, 100 more cases of the flu this week than we did a year ago at this time. And so flu cases are up by 448%. We're still a little early there, but Pima County, we have 34, and that was statewide, by the way. Pima County has 34 people who have had the flu this season, 13 of them within the last week. It's starting to hit. If you haven't gotten your shot, might want to try to think about doing that.
Okay, Jim, getting back to the election, as far as the school districts were concerned, it's a blow for TUSD. Let's face it, Tucson Unified, the aging infrastructure of their buildings, this is not going to help attracting new students to the district.
Right, and if memory serves, they were looking for $180 million, and that was basically their bottom line of what they needed to ensure that their air conditioners are working, their heaters are working, their classrooms don't have collapsing roofs, and I mean, there's a whole bunch of work that needs to be done to keep these schools in tip-top shape, or even, you know, habitable shape, and they're in a real fix about how to make it work without that infusion of money.
And in your area, schools didn't fare well either, Dan. Sure.
Well, we didn't have anything this year. Last year, we had a couple of things that passed. But I will tell you that we are growing, and we are putting in the ground right now a school that's going to open next fall. But we're already thinking about the next school after that. And after seeing what happened in the statewide elections, particularly in the Tucson area where these things are going down, we've got to build our own school if we want it to look like we want it, rather than to rely on the state. And I think they're looking at that and saying, gosh, could we really get something by the voters right now? And I think there's a big question there. We are a growing area. And just since I've been down there, and I've been down there 9 years now, we have added 3 schools, and we're talking about a fourth. And this is in a district that currently has 8 schools.
So kind of the conventional thinking about you're just living in a retirement village is really, really no longer holding water.
No, well, if you take Sahuarita into consideration, it's a young, very young community. The average
age. So you kind of got the young.
Yes.
You have bookends, don't you?
Yeah.
You've
well,
got the young to the left. Well, if you're looking at a map.
Yep. We don't know where they are.
All right, I don't know where they are, but one side you got the young and you got the old.
Well, basically, the people in Green Valley could be the parents of the people in Sahuarita, and so that's how it is. So we have a lot of young families, and we have a lot of old older people, and we have two school districts down there, and both are growing.
And Jim is the father of two very young children. You'll have to be thinking about this early childhood education, which took a setback in Tucson. Where do they go from here, Penelope Jacks and her group?
Well, that's a really good question. I think, you know, one of the things you heard a lot from Democrats was that, you know, it's a great idea, but this plan is not the right plan. And whether or not anything happens from here remains to be seen. But it is certainly true that for especially the single moms in our community, who many of whom live, you know, on or about the poverty level, it's just insane to try to afford daycare for your kids so you can go to your work so that you can, you know, support your family. And so it's a huge challenge facing not only Tucson but the rest of the state, because the state has cut back so dramatically on the support that it used to give for daycare programs. So, and of course there's a difference between daycare and early childhood education programs, that I don't want to split the difference. I will say that, you know, it was a beautiful drive down to Sahuarita yesterday, and that the landscape down there is just gorgeous, Dan.
It was good for you to get out of the office.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
All right. I do want a plug for next week. Jason Jacobs, the fine young administrator. Guy is one of the best zoo administrators in the United States. Very lucky to have him at Reed Park Zoo. He'll be my guest on Wednesday about, now, what are they going to do with that money that will be coming in? They've got all sorts of great plans. I, for one, was very happy that the zoo deal passed, but that's just because I just thought they needed the money, and I love animals. So anyway.
My kids love the zoo.
I know they do. Jim Nentzel, have a great Thanksgiving.
Same to you and your listeners.
Thanks a lot. And Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you have plans? You're going to go away, or you're going to...
You know, our only plan is that we're actually not going to have turkey on Thanksgiving. We decided we're going to go the ham route.
Oh, you can do the ham.
Yes.
Ooh, a lot of people like that, kind of a change of pace.
Yeah, it's a little risky for our family. We're pretty much traditionalists, yeah. But we're going to do it.
Well, I'll stop eating on Monday, so I've got a good appetite Thursday. All right, thanks, Dan. All right, Tom, that's going to wrap it up for our roundtable portion. We've got Matt Russell Weekend Watch next. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, which makes a delightful weekend getaway. Historic Silver City, so much to do, just kind of hang out, great environment, do some antiquing, do some restaurant visiting. They've got some great recreation opportunities. I strongly suggest, and I think you will be very happy when you do, visiting southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay and visit in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, the president and CEO of Russell Public Communications, that award-winning group, and Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, whose work appears not only in Inside Tucson Business, but the Tucson Weekly as well. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Bill. How are you getting ready for Turkey Day?
I'm ready to talk turkey, I'm ready to talk wine, and I'm ready to be very thankful.
It's all about gratitude, as I say, and as we close in on Thanksgiving next week, I think it's time to start thinking about the wines that are going to be gracing our tables. Now, there's going to be a tasting event downtown this evening at Maynard's Market and Kitchen, kind of designed to help us find the perfect wines for the celebration. So a selection of sommelier picks will be showcased for the tasting, really focusing on those that play well with fowl and other holiday fare. Starts at 6 o'clock tonight. The tasting is only $10, and you can purchase those bottles that you really loved right there on site. Lots to be thankful for.
What about taking home a turkey?
Yeah, for Thanksgiving dinner, Bill, we really have two choices. We can eat in or dine out.
Uh-huh.
What about those who want to host the family at home but would rather leave the preparations for someone else? Well, you're in luck. For example, Brother John's Barbecue is selling fresh smoked turkeys and a spectrum of sides to go. The Dutch has prepared full Thanksgiving dinners with take-and-bake turkeys for finishing at home, and the Parish is doing southern fried turkeys all the fixings that'll transform your party into a Louisiana swamp romp. Now, you'll need to place your orders early next week so it's all ready for pickup, whether it's smoked, baked, or fried. That's gratitude for me.
And I'm very thankful for these wonderful, award-winning, world-class chefs that we have in this community.
no kidding, and four of them, Bill, four local chefs. They've each spent time abroad this year, kind of experiencing a global palette of flavors and traditions, and on Sunday night at 5 p.m. at the Carriage House, they're going to be working together to showcase their delicious discoveries. So we're talking Chef Janos Wilder, Travis Peters, Brian Smith, Michael Montesano. They went to France, Spain, Brazil, and Italy, respectively.
Wow.
And they're going to be serving dishes inspired by their travels. And the best part, Bill, you can taste them all along with companion cocktails for only $40 each. Local chefs on a global stage Sunday night at the Carriage House.
Sounds like your recent itinerary to Europe. You've had so much to be thankful for, Matt Russell. So have I. Thank you very much for your support.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the Buckmaster family.
Thank you very much. Matt Russell, host of Weekend Watch. All right. The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. Our original theme music is courtesy of the fine young German composer, Christophon. You can find out about his work on my website, buckmastershow.com. Thanks, Rose, Rosemary Brandt. What a great job she does as my assistant, making sure all the podcasts are up in a very timely manner. My thanks to the entire team at KVOI, the operations manager, and my engineer producer Monday through Thursday, Ray Allen. Ray does a great job. Tom Fairbanks sits in that chair on Friday. Thank you, Tom. You did a terrific job as usual today. Production manager and funny man, Jerry Cross, one of the best in the business. Alicia, Elsa, Rhonda, the front office staff, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of the locally operated and owned Tucson's Good News Communications. All of us say have a happy and safe Thanksgiving.